Hey, this is Dawn.
And this is Lana.
I'm Allison.
I'm Steve.
And you're listening to another episode of Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age,
and we improve with wine.
I'm very excited about today's theme, because it's the second one we've got coming up, Lana.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mystery Wines from My Mom's Basement.
Oh my goodness. And, you know, I was asked the question, so if she doesn't buy the wines, and people bring, who brings her the wines?
I don't know.
Do they just mysteriously show up?
That would be awesome.
There are wine gnomes in her house.
She can never sell her house. We have to live.
I think she should charge more for that.
You know, I think you've got a good point. I hope Mom listens to this. Yeah, so we've got a fun episode today, just not only because it's Mystery Wines from My Mom's Basement, episode number two, but we've got family with us today.
Which makes sense. It's the wines from the family basement.
And we've got Allison. This is my oldest niece. You can say something.
Wait a second, we can card you.
Allison made a great hand gesture. It was very emphatic. It was like two hands went up. But
I wasn't carded, it was amazing.
Where was that at?
Oh, it was a bar in Dinkytown.
A bar in Dinkytown?
Which kind of makes sense. They generally just wave you through.
Good to know. Because you've been legal drinking age now for...
Almost a year. 10 months.
Aww, God, I can't believe you're that old. And then we also have Steve here.
Hello.
My husband.
It's true.
Yes, it's true. The Steve that we talk about actually exists.
I actually exist.
Oh, and Dawn is disrobing.
Yeah, I'm already taking off my sweater, so you know it's going to be a good show.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, I'm in the sunbeam. It feels good.
Such a kitty.
I have a kitty moment.
Crack open the alcohol.
Yes. And speaking of which, let's do the mystery wines from my mom's basement. We've got a bag of wine.
I love bag of wine.
Oh.
Here it is.
I hear it. Now I see it.
And we've got a bunch of wines in here. We don't know what's in here.
Reds, whites, rosés, who knows?
It just has been living in Lana's basement ever since it's been transferred from my mom's basement. So,
I'm amazed that it's still there and we haven't drunk it.
It's because you lost it.
Wait a second, I thought you brought it home. No, I left it here. Oh, no.
Sort of like the kid who never gets thrown out of the basement, right? Never leaves the basement.
Yeah, we just gotta forget they're there. Yeah. And then drink their blood. Steve, do you want to pick the first bottle?
Ooh, I'd love to.
Okay, so
you can't look.
You can't look, and you just kind of gotta basically reach in.
This is not somebody at a Foley table,
no.
Honest.
Ooh, what do we have?
It's a red. Uh-huh, yes.
Oh my gosh!
Yep, Cannon River Winery.
You know what? We did not drink this last time.
No, we didn't. Okay. So our last episode was all about Canyon River Winery wines. And so it's kind of hysterical that this is what we pulled this time.
Yeah, well, one of them was decent and the other one not so much. Great until we took out the incredible, incredible cheese.
The miracle cheese.
By the way, I have some in the fridge if we need it.
Well, good idea.
And, well, I didn't plan ahead. It's just that Joshua English Scrimshaw has now made me an addict of this particular cheese.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Sweet. So this is Canyon River Winery Nouveau red wine. So we're
from Cannon Falls, Minnesota. Yes. Lana and I have been there. We were there just a few weeks ago. Yeah. So
and you guys did wine tasting out there.
We did wine tasting.
We did several flights.
As you do.
I think by and large, we sort of liked the stuff. It wasn't refined California finest, but Minnesota.
What I think of California wines, so
gets a little better every year, humble opinion.
It does, and they've only been there for 10 years, so
it was 20 years.
10.
Oh, well, what do I know?
Oh, aww, that didn't make much sound. Sorry.
That's okay. You're still gonna pour it, and that's the best part.
Sad cork.
It was a sad cork. It really, really was.
The next cork will be.
I wasn't concentrating. That's the thing. You really have to concentrate to make the really good corky sound.
Yeah,
well, just that corky attention. Sound.
Our favorite sound. No, that's
sound
yours.
In the world.
So that's Al's.
Chivalry is dead.
No, that's Al's.
It's Allison's.
Oh!
Shh! Wait a second, I'm putting this in the wrong glasses.
See?
That's okay.
I'm not sure it matters.
No.
To be quite honest.
And it's kind of a chilled red as it is anyways, so because it's been sitting in your basement.
Yeah.
So, we're excited to see what this one actually turns out to look like. when it's being tasted, especially yeah. after our last episode.
Our last one was a little iffy. Okay, so let's take a peek at this.
Let's take a peek at these wines.
I'm going to hit the light.
Now, we'll all listen to Lana walk over to her light switch. And, ooh, and now she's walking back. This is making for some good podcast.
Oh, I know. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, Lana's back.
Oh, yay. I went so far away. I just wanted to be able to see the color under lights. That it's in mid-afternoon. Yes, we're drinking mid-afternoon. Get over it.
When don't we?
That's true.
It's almost black.
It's really, really dark. Okay. It's darker and pinker than my garnets.
What do you think, Al?
I think it is. It's a very pretty red.
Wait,
it's just a dark, like, where the light hits it, it's almost like a ruby kind of color.
Mm. Being a student of laboratory science, would you say this is a blood red?
Yes, quite.
Like, bloody red. Well, and it's completely opaque. Like, we can't see through this thing at all.
No.
Portends.
Steve, do you have anything to add to this whole it's red thing?
It's super red.
Yeah, all I can say is these are the cleanest glasses I've seen in my life.
That's because I clean them beforehand.
Oh. Now, wait a minute. Let's be honest about who does the most of the dishes in this household.
So Steve is dishwasher
boy. I am dishwasher boy.
Yeah, these are very clean dishes.
And then I make sure they're clean because sometimes the dishwasher doesn't always get all the spots off.
I am dishwasher boy. Hear me roar.
These are super clean.
He's dishwasher boy. Hear him swish.
Should we take a smell of it?
Well, I would like to see if it has legs.
Oh, yeah,
so let's
right.
do a little swirly swirly.
Swirly swirly. We're doing
not the toilet kind, but swirl the...
Or the dishwasher kind.
You know, there's some leggage going on. I'm surprised there's any at all.
Did you know what legs are, Al?
No, these, educate me.
Those drippy marks that come down the side that look kind of oily?
Yes.
And those are good.
You want
depending
legs.
On what you want. Depending on what your flavor is, your flavor profile.
So what do the legs indicate?
It just means that it's like a thicker, I hate to say that. It's just a thicker wine. It might be more full bodied.
Heavier?
Heavier when you're drinking it. But it could also be a load of bull crap too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen some good wines that have no legs.
So. And vice versa, so.
All right.
And look what you learned today. Okay, let's take a
now
sniff.
Now we can smell this puppy.
Fruit forward.
Okay. It's a red fruit.
Very much. Raspberries?
What do you think, Steve?
Having flashbacks to when I first took communion as a Lutheran.
Yes!
Oh my god, the ELCA rears its ugly head.
It has its communion wine, isn't it?
Went to Mass this morning. Smells the same.
Is this Canyon River Winery in New World that is the blood of Christ today?
Your supplier.
Oh, the St. Paul Archdiocese. It does. It smells exactly like communal wine. But it's
which usually doesn't suck.
No,
but
no,
it's not necessarily something you want to push back either.
Me.
Okay, shall we actually try tasting this?
Yes, let's do a toast.
A toast. What shall we toast to?
To family.
To family.
La familia.
La familia.
I'm misting up over here.
Drink, it'll go away.
Yeah. Or if you're Italian like the rest of us, you'll just cry more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it's supposed to be served cold, but I like it.
It doesn't suck.
No.
It sincerely doesn't suck. You know, I'm going to warm this up with my hands
because,
a little bit.
Yeah, the wines were stored in a basement, so it is a good chilled wine. This is actually probably the perfect chilled temperature for wine.
Yeah. Having been 10 below for a week.
No.
And how do we feel about that?
Awful.
So give me more wine.
Does it taste like communal wine, Al?
It does a little bit, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not. Because I've always dug communal wine.
I'm thinking the Archdiocese buys decent wine.
Yeah.
Growing up Lutheran, I always had the image that the priests liked their wine. And if they have to drink it, they're going to make sure it's decent.
You know, Jesus liked wine.
Yes.
The priests liked wine.
He turned water into wine.
Yeah,
so
I mean, he was all about a party. What do you think, Steve? How do you, what kind of flavors are you catching off this one?
I think it's much better than the communion wine I had growing up in a small town in southern Minnesota. I'm not sure where they got theirs. I think it came out of big jugs.
Yeah, Moby Dick.
Oh, not that good. It wasn't that good.
I think the Catholics have better wine than the Lutherans.
But I want to pretend I'm sophisticated here, since I'm married to an expert in wine.
Who are you married to?
I don't know if expert and judgmental are the same thing. Judgmental about wine. Oh, she's flipping me off, but it's only one finger, so I'm okay.
Well, certainly, Dawn, you've had the experience of seeing Lana interrogate the waitstaff at restaurants.
That's true.
Interrogate?
Well, I mean...
I gently ask questions. Especially about the finish.
Anyway,
and
to show some of my sophistication, I get a note of really forward flavors, sort of right under my eye teeth.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of spice to it, so almost like a little bit of a Shiraz sort of kick, but not quite. It's really quite pleasing.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's like plummy. I get plum.
I get raspberries and cherries.
Yeah,
that's what I get too.
I think this side of the table gets raspberries and cherries.
Gets more important things. Okay, yeah. But it's sweet. It doesn't have a bitter end to it. Mm-hmm. This is actually quite lovely.
It's very much the forward part of your tongue. It doesn't do anything on the back of my tongue at all. It's like, doesn't exist.
See, Minnesota wine can be passable.
Well, you know, I'm dying to try this with a little bit of food and see what happens.
Got gluten-free bread, and we also have the regular bread.
Plus the sound-baffling almonds.
Please. Oh, yeah. The more gluten, the better for me.
Okay, I'm just touching all your food. See, now it's officially family again. I touch your food for you.
For some reason, I got less wine than anybody, so you hit me.
Aww.
Either that or I'm drinking more than anybody, so there we go.
You have, like, the mystery glass. I don't know what that means, but you have it.
It obviously drains itself.
We've got this cool family episode going on today, and one of the things that I'm enjoying about it is that we have a widespread of ages here. Thank you. And it's cool in the sense because we are all, like, doing, like, the wine and the family traditions differently throughout the ages. Because, Al, you're almost done with college, right?
Nearly, yes.
Nearly.
I have two more semesters.
Two more semesters. Hallelujah.
Ooh.
And then you will be 22 when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And
but who's counting semesters? Who's counting days?
And then we got Steve here, who's aged.
I was like, I'm going to say how old he is.
My aching back.
His red hair has turned beige.
Yeah, but it's really good looking, though.
It is. It's very distinguished.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I find it highly attractive.
I think it's very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not coming on anymore. That's weird.
Pour some more wine! Anyway.
None will really start coming. You really haven't spent a lot of time with both Dawn and I when we've been drinking wine.
Well, not enough.
Well,
no.
Except for when he has. He's always... because then we start saying things. I think that embarrasses him.
You know, it is always, always my goal to make him blush.
It'll happen. Just give it some time. So, have you got to try the wine with the foods?
I have. Have you?
No, I haven't. I've been talking too much.
Well, you know, try it. It's the sweet mellows a bit. It doesn't taste like dessert wine so much.
When you're eating it with the bread?
Mm-hmm.
And the oil. What do you think, Al?
Mm-hmm.
You just ate.
I'm about to try it.
You just ate an almond, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel with almond goodness with it?
Mm-hmm.
You can talk with your mouth full. We're on a podcast, no one can see.
Interesting.
Yes,
I'm trying
to find the words to describe how good it is.
So you like it?
Yes, I do like it.
Do you think it tastes better with almonds or less better?
Slightly different, but it's not any more or less good.
It's interesting that it tastes very sweet with the almonds, and with the bread it tastes less sweet. It's like it's reacting to the food itself. Does that make sense?
What do you think?
I think it overpowers the food a bit.
And the almonds do, or the wine? Wait.
The wine overpowers the food.
The white bread?
It does not complement food as much as I would like a red wine to do. But I'm going to spin that sort of to the positive. You know, sometimes I have a glass of white wine and then a glass of red wine because I like to drink a glass of white wine without food just to sort of, you know, take the edge off a little bit. It's a nice taste. This actually, I think, would be a pretty good, maybe a really good sipping wine even without food, sort of as a precursor to having a glass that you are going to have with dinner.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
Okay, Joshua, this one's for you, babe.
Ooh, the cheese is out.
The cheese comes out.
The cheese.
So, a little bit of
cheese
is this? This is the Petit Basque.
Oh, right.
Which made me crazy happy.
Right,
and
right,
making
right.
Pieces going
so,
all over.
So French cheese.
It is.
It's a French cheese. I can't remember how he described it because
it's,
as soon as I get done editing,
I believe
everything.
It's sheep's milk.
Mm, that's what it was.
It's a very nutty.
It is a delicious cheese. And did you get it in Whole Foods?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Calhoun Square?
Not Calhoun Square. Oh. Oh. That changes the flavor
that
profile.
Is yummy.
Yes.
It works with the cheese. Mm-hmm. The cheese is a bit sort of understated. And yeah, this works.
This absorbs a lot of the sweetness, just like it did with the other one.
That is,
it really mellows it out, so you've got to...
This might be the miracle cheese.
It is.
I mean...
It's like $25 a pound and worth every cent.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's wonderful.
So this is Nouveau from Cannon River Winery,
Nouveau.
Is that right? Nouveau.
Yes.
So we got the French thing going
Oh,
here.
Of course.
French and French.
Yes, Minnesota French. I totally go with that.
Well, so, we're behind the French in free speech these days, I'll tell you, so it's only fitting.
So you, Mr. Steve, you're getting ready to do your marathon season, right?
I am, yes.
God, that's
I'm a runner.
Yeah, he's crazy.
I'm a wine-drinking runner.
You know, that probably would get me to run.
Really? No, it wouldn't.
Probably not. Yeah,
I know.
But, so your first marathon is this next weekend?
Well, let's see. Of 2015, my first race is going to be this coming weekend in Miami. It's a half marathon.
Ooh.
Just running the half marathon.
He's warming up.
It's warming
I'm
up.
I'm only
it's
doing 90
just
miles.
Just a half marathon.
I know. 13.1,
and you can't take that 0.1 for granted, I'll tell you.
No,
so.
That's...
But Miami was my first marathon, let's see, in 2012. So this will be the fourth time I'm down there, and Lana can't go this year because she's home
for
work.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'll be doing that, and then I'll be doing the Boston Marathon on April 20th, and I guess, hopefully, a fall marathon to be determined. So it's my midlife crisis in action. Yep.
And do you ever do the local one here in
Twin
the
cities?
The
Twin Cities Marathon? That was, what, my fourth marathon?
You also did the
fastest time so far.
The Monster Dash was your first race, at a competitive race, and that's a half marathon, and you did really well.
The Monster Dash.
The Monster Dash, yes.
What makes it all monstery?
Well, it happens right before Halloween, usually,
nice.
So people dress up in costumes.
But you never have. And
well, now, wait a minute. For my first year, I dressed up as a clueless runner. So actually,
you didn't
I didn't
have to dress up for
but,
that.
And here's what got me. But here's what got me through the race, and not thinking of the pain was there's this guy who was dressed as a pregnant bride, he was about 6'2", you know, and basketball under his wedding dress. So I followed him, and what I did was I fixated on the crowd's reaction to him, and it sort of took my mind off the fact that I was running 13.1 miles for the first time in my freaking life, you know? So it was really fun.
Well, and also, you know, the fact that if he can do it dressed up like that with that thing going boom, 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 you know, bouncing up and down, you know, what's the excuse for not being able to keep to his heels? That's what essentially you said to me at the time.
That's fun. Do you have to? Like, when you notice you're running even marathon, half marathons, only half marathons.
I know.
Only.
It's like a mile from you. Like, so long.
I know. I'm like, is it at least to the mall? I'm like, I can walk a mile at the mall. When you're doing that, do you find you have to fixate on something to keep yourself going? Or
sometimes. In marathons, it's a real mind game after about mile 21. A marathon is 26.2 miles. Marathon is 26.2 miles. So, and usually the most you take during a training run ever is 20 miles. Some will do 21.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't actually... Well, how can you prep your body for that?
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, I say, you know, the adrenaline of the moment gets you an extra couple of miles.
And the crowd.
And the last mile will take care of itself, but it's those two other miles after mile 20 that you need to dig deep down inside and figure out how you're going to get it done.
Wow.
That's all part of the fun.
Well, in Twin Cities Marathon, what mile is it where you come onto... Right before summit, where it's that incline that's so nasty because it keeps going and going.
Yeah, right around mile 20 or 21.
Oh, so it is. Yeah, so it's in the worst location ever.
And that hill is worse than Heartbreak Hill in Boston.
Really?
It is.
Is it worse than the Lemon Drop Hill on Grandma's?
Much.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. That's insane and amazing, and I have a lot of respect for that, and I think I'll just stay home and play video games. But, I mean, I still do have a lot of respect for people who actually run on purpose. And
as opposed from something.
Exactly.
I have, you know, obviously now I've met a lot of Steve's runner friends, and almost every single one of them is one of those type A plus personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't have one of those.
No.
requires discipline.
It's not to
not have.
Well, it's discipline, but it's also that competitive thing of I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be better than the last time, and I'm going to be better than the guy next to me, and
even if it kills me.
Well,
which
yeah, and it's like, wow, it's that competitive. I got to get it done that I don't think I could do just because, you know, I'm going to run 26.2 miles or whatever because I'm going to.
Because I have nothing better to do.
But racing is fun because it's a very individual sport, actually, because you're essentially racing against your own time and sometimes, you know, like a Boston Marathon qualifying time or something like that. So it's an individual sport on the one hand, but on the other hand, you know, I ran the New York Marathon, November 2013, with 50,000 of my closest friends. So, you know, it's very collective and
very friendly.
That's when you're running and trying not to die at the same time. So is it a tight community? Like the same people who run Boston will run New York and New York will run...
Sometimes. Boston is a race you have to qualify for. But the, you know, the neat thing about running is, you know, I was a journalist before I was a lawyer, and journalists are sort of cut from the same cloth politically and, you know, with some exceptions, of course. But runners are all over the map, and it's really neat to meet people with a variety of views and backgrounds, and you just sort of forget all that stuff when you're...
Because you're trying not to die.
That's right.
It's survival. I will spill the beans, and one of the things he says is runners are cheap.
That's
right. When it comes to hotels and such, they will stay in absolute hovels.
And I've seen pictures of the hovels that you have stayed in. Like
$130 bucks a night in New York. Yep.
Y'all
can do it.
Yeah.
When you open the door and it hits the bed.
It hits the head of the bed. That was the funny part.
Question. Did we get mugged?
No, we didn't.
And that's a good...
Did I sleep well? Not so much. And it wasn't because it was unsafe. It just... You have to see the pictures to go, wow, that's an interesting looking, tiny, weird, old, strangely positioned space.
Runners are cheap.
And I love old, but boy, I looked at the woodwork. That was interesting. Okay, let's go on.
So then there's Al, who doesn't run.
No, not at all.
If you can avoid it.
My sport is band.
Yay!
What do you play? I play the flute.
I play flute!
Yes!
Well, I used to play flute. Now I have a Native American flute that I'm starting to pick up.
That's cool.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, but go on, tell us
about it. I'm in the pep band at the U of M. Yes, the basketball pep band.
So you're indoors.
Yeah, yes. Indoors.
Smart girl.
Smart
girl.
Not in the marching band, but I am in the pep band. It's a lot of fun.
You've done it ever since day one at the U, haven't you?
Yes. Freshman year, I played at women's games, and then after that, I graduated to men's basketball.
Oh, God. What does that mean?
Well, you get more people there. So.
Yeah.
Because it's a boy sport.
Okay. Yeah,
anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. But how much do you have to, like, practice, rehearse for that, or
we
much?
Have rehearsals once a week.
Awesome. And you get credit for this, right?
I do. I get a credit. I get a credit for this. It's great. I play games every week. I have fun. Get to sit up close for free. It's great.
Nice.
So does this count against your electives or your gen eds for the arts?
Well, it counted for gen eds for arts at first, but I'm kind of past that point now, and now it's mostly for fun. And it's a nice little GPA booster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
credit of A.
Being in higher ed, I'm always curious about, well, that's an applied music course. Is that a gen ed? Or is that an elective? Sorry.
And what are you studying right now?
Medical laboratory sciences.
And what is that?
Well, I am learning how to perform the tests that doctors order at hospitals and clinics. And in fact, sometimes we get to suggest them to the doctors if we know what the previous results are.
Really?
Yes. Medical laboratorians, they come...
Laboratorians?
Yes, they call themselves laboratorians. I did not know that
I
was
like
a word
that.
Until this year.
Is that five or six syllables? Laboratorians or laboratorians?
I think you can say it either way. All I know is...
Well, I like the longer version.
Laboratorians.
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 That's very British.
Yes.
Yes, we contribute 70% of the information leading to a diagnosis.
So, practical, like, so let's say we go to the doctor and they want, I don't know, herpes testing, because, you know, that's what happens to Lana all the time.
Really?
And so,
all right,
like,
shut that recorder off.
We need a discussion, apparently, that I'm totally unaware of.
So, like, how would that fit in for Lana?
I'm feeling really uncomfortable for the first time in this production. Wait, it was Steve that we were supposed to make uncomfortable.
Wait, not there. Lana's blushing.
No, Steve
no,
is
No, I'm not
super
able to blush. Blush. No. I don't blush.
Well, you don't blush?
No. Well, I'm unable.
No.
Italians don't blush.
Okay.
Or at least olive-skinned people.
So, okay, so
but
Lana
Steve
might have herpes. No, let's say Lana might have herpes.
The doctor would order a herpes test if that's a way he or she suspected. Then they would, you know, ask for it, like, take the sample.
So you would take the sample or the doctor would take the sample?
Or
it
a
really
lab tech.
It
depends. Lab okay. tech, mm-hmm. a lab scientist, it really depends on the institution.
Okay.
And someone would take the sample, and then they would, you know, run the test, and I have never done a herpes test before, but depending on how long it
took... Neither have I. For the record, neither have I.
I haven't either, for the record.
Then call in the results to the doctor, who would then figure out what to do with it.
So yeah. You really don't have a lot of face-to-face with actual patients, or...?
No, I am receiving training in blood drawing, so I could do mm-hmm. phlebotomy after
I love that word.
What's a phlebotomy?
A phlebotomist is someone who draws blood. It's mm-hmm. not a word that rolls off the tongue so much as just kind of plops off the tongue.
Which is interesting, because generally speaking, in Latin, when you talk about blood, it's, you know, the word sanguine is talking about blood, so phlebotomy is like totally freaks me out about where that word comes, you know, with the root.
I am not sure the word.
Guess who's working
at
this?
Yeah, the power of the internet. So, and when to be a phlebotomist,
yes.
Can you just draw like from fingers, arms?
Yes, I have practiced
necks.
Drawing from fingers and
necks. Really?
You know, carotid artery.
You know,
I just need some blood.
You never draw from the neck.
Really?
Sometimes you draw from the back of the hand. If a patient
bless
has
you, Lana.
Excuse me.
Difficult veins, mm-hmm. You can draw from the hand because the veins tend to stick out a little more on your hand.
What makes someone's veins difficult?
If someone's veins aren't so close to like your skin, like mm-hmm. they might be farther down, or if a patient is more overweight, sometimes the uh-huh. veins become hidden. In which case, then we go to the hand, and you can take from there.
Neat.
Yes.
So you've been taking lots of blood from people. You've been phlebotomizing.
This is people get really excited when they see the interior of my arm.
You have really nice veins.
Lana has nice veins.
They see this inner aspect coming, and they go, ooh, this will be easy.
I bet you get all the trainees.
they don't see that until you sit down, and then you roll it up, and I see their eyes light up. They know it's going to be easy.
Yes.
and that's so interesting, because, like, I mean, being so fair-skinned, it's like, you can see these veins. I mean, I wear foundation to cover my blood veins more than anything else. But they don't usually pull from the ones that are so obvious.
No, they go more from a vein that's closer to the middle of your arm. I think they would go more for this one. I cannot remember what it's called right now. But
you fail!
Don't need to know the name of it. But they go more by feel than sight.
Interesting.
Is actually how they've been training us to locate which vein to use. And,
how come they're blue?
Because it's coming back?
Yes.
I want to hear from the expert.
I'm sorry. I'm such a nerd, I always have to have the answer.
Deoxygenated blood. It doesn't...
Deoxygenated. It's six syllables.
These are great syllables.
Doesn't that mean... Okay, let me see if I got this right. You tell me that I'm wrong, because I probably am.
Right.
But the blood supply to places generally is a little deeper in your body,
yes.
because it's protected, because that's it's got more pressure behind it.
Yes.
And the stuff coming back is higher towards the skin because there's less pressure, and so you're less likely to bleed to death if it gets cut.
I would agree with you. That is... that's a likely...
I have nerd cred!
Phlebotomy.
on the interwebs, phleb in Greek. That's why
Greek.
I didn't know it. In Greek, means vein. Tomia in Greek means cutting. So it's cutting of the
phlebotomy.
Vein.
Phlebotomy, yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Watch this be on your certification test, and you'll be, I learned that at Screw It, a podcast about why.
You know, every time I tell people about our podcast, I go, Screw It, a podcast, mostly, about why.
That's neat.
It's so
and,
cool.
And it's, of course, there are people who do these jobs, but we don't see that.
And our lives depend
on people doing these jobs.
It's
hitting you.
It's kind of a major that's, it's a hidden one. They don't really tell you about it when you're in high school. You know, the point when you're trying to decide a major, you don't know that it exists until it's like too late.
Which it almost was for you.
There's a lot of people in my class who already, like, they've just received their degree and they learned about it like right at the end. So they came back to get this one too.
Wow.
Yes.
Their second major.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So,
yeah. I actually know how to do that in the system now. Don't ask.
That's cool, Al. I mean, it's always a struggle, especially, I remember my 20s where it's like, I don't know what I want to be. You know, to find a niche that you're really interested in and is fulfilling
the
for you.
The lab classes are really great.
And you get to, like, poke each other.
Pretty much, yes, actually. We actually do the lab exercises on the blood that we draw from each other. So it's actual, you know, blood. We see what the patients will look like.
New, live, exciting.
We're always afraid we're going to find out something. Like one of us has a disease or something.
Isn't it med school
that.
Where every time you learn about something new that you're afraid that you find symptoms that you think you have it?
Yes. Yes, they're like, oh yeah, if you find this cell, that's probably bad. So then we're all like, I think I see that cell.
Oh, no.
I have that one.
Oh my gosh, you actually study your own blood. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm thinking that my glass is empty.
Oh no.
And not to cut off any of this,
we should continue, but
we
have to rate this wine.
Yeah.
We have to rate this.
Oh, so let's talk about our rating system.
Oh, yes.
It's a rating system of 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest, and 5 being the highest. And the definition of 1 is, I would not drink it if they were handing it out free, even at Renfest.
Mm-hmm.
That is some of the worst swill on the face of the planet.
It certainly can be. Mm-hmm. Number 2 is, we would equate this with vinegar salad dressing. You know, you'd put it on your salad, but I don't want a glass of it.
Mm. 3 is wedding appropriate wine. It's something that you're handing out free, it's good enough to drink, but you wouldn't go out of your way to go get it.
No. And 4 is a bottle I wouldn't feel guilty drinking by myself.
Which is
almost everything.
Wide variety of
almost everything.
Personally, I find, you know, if I'm going to drink it all by myself, it better be pretty damn good.
Exactly, exactly.
And 5 is,
I would tap that vintner's cask. That means it's, whoa, we like that wine. And we want to get to know the people who made it.
I appreciate this person to the nth degree.
Nth degree. Mm-hmm. So if that is our grading system, Steve, and you can go decimal points if you really feel the need.
Or as we call it in tech world, rounds.
Yes. I mean, 1 to 5, 5 being amazing.
I'm going to award it a 5K.
A 5,000?
No.
Okay.
A 5K...
5 kilometers?
As part of a marathon is where?
Well, it's also pi, actually.
Oh, sweet.
It's right around 3.1
So you're going to give it a 3.1 miles.
Yes.
It'd be 3.1214.
You know, plus. You know, it may be, you know, 5K plus a warm-up. So 3.5-ish.
That's awesome. So this, if you got it at a wedding, you wouldn't be annoyed.
Definitely not.
You wouldn't, like, quick change out how much money was on the check.
No.
Okay, good.
Tasty.
Al, what do you think?
Well, my experience with wine is very limited, but...
Oh, sure.
But...
Your mom...
Would it be different?
Hang on.
Pleading the...
Your mom doesn't listen to this. You're okay.
Yeah.
But I think I would rate it a 4. I would not feel bad drinking this all by myself.
She can take the rest home.
But there's never any rest.
Oh.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Lana, how do you feel about this?
What is a wine stopper? I don't get it.
I don't know. I got a vacuum gift as a present, like a vacuum wine stopper from the Wilmorths. Thank you very much, you guys. And they put it in as a joke. They're like, she'll never use this. That's hysterical.
Once in a while, if I have a bottle that only I'm drinking because I like it and Steve doesn't, I will put in a stopper because I will drink it the next night. Because generally I don't drink a whole bottle by myself.
Not generally, no.
Unless I have a migraine.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to care once the migraine hits.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a 3-ish. Once you put it with that cheese, though, it really goes to a 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
But the cheese, this is magic cheese.
It is magic cheese. I give this one a 3. I mean, I don't want a whole bottle of this by myself. I think I would yak. But I think it just might be a little too sweet for me.
It'd be a great thing if you're at a party and you just have a glass of wine and no food. Or
wonderful.
If you're at the end of your meal and you want you want a little wine, and so you want, but you don't want dessert. So
yeah.
Both, I think both of those are perfectly reasonable.
And I think it's also restored my faith in Canyon River Winery.
No, the first one we had from Canyon River was okay. It was that second one that really blew.
Oh, God, it was awful. Shall we move to our next mystery wine? Yes. Okay, Al, here comes the bag. Sorry, Steve.
Those are some bullets.
I'm a runner, not a weightlifter. Jeez.
And this is from your Oma's basement.
Oh, and it's a white.
Ooh, yeah. This is our first on the show.
Except for the ice wines, yes.
Yeah.
So it's a Sancerre La Reine Blanche. Okay, product of France, 2010.
Ooh.
2010. Okay, this is kind of bold for a white.
Well,
this might blow.
But
I can't wait to be surprised.
Yay. Well, just remember, Elle, you picked it, so if it sucks, it is 100% your fault.
I would like to point out that the foil is getting really brittle.
Oh, good.
This might be interesting.
That's always a good sign.
Yes. It's a good sign.
A good one.
Yes, okay. Now, remember to love the cork this
time. I'm going to make love to the cork. No, that's not what you meant? Okay.
Yeah, sure, that's what Al meant.
Sure was.
Remember how she got herpes?
Excuse me?
Nothing. No herpes.
How did you get that from a cork?
I bet you could. What do you think, Elle?
Okay, now the image I have in my mind is really ugly.
Okay.
It's not coming out.
It's not coming out.
That's what he said. Ooh.
Oh, it's bubbling.
It's effervescing, and I don't think it's supposed to.
Oh, no! Well, okay, let's open it. Let's open it and see.
Oops. Hold on.
Wow, this one's fighting you. Okay.
Eep.
Here, let's. When I was in Paris recently,
it smells fine.
Yeah, it's, you know, the reason to smell the cork is not to smell the wine, but just to smell the cork to make sure it didn't go bad.
Remember the wine we had that one time where the cork had just rotted.
Rotted. Oh God.
But that,
makes
that
so
was
sad.
Really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and this is a good white wine glass.
Yeah. Let's. Oh, I know that. That is so pretty. That is so pretty. Well, we'll see how it goes with the bubbles, because I have recently done some, you know, because I swear, like, every other bottle I open has either gone bad or whatever. But we have faith.
Is that the stuff that you're a member of, that kind of clubby thing? Mm. Are those the wines that are going bad, sweetie?
Not all of them, but yes, upon occasion.
Okay.
So, this is a gorgeous white. This is really pretty.
It's a light amber.
And we can see through it, so that's cool.
I'm smelling apples.
I didn't mean to smell it, but I did. I started smelling right away.
You
because
have
you
to.
Can't. Yeah, this
you can't
is,
help it.
You can't help but smell it. She's a little bit leggy, but the smell is it's drawing my nose right in.
Apples.
And
I'm
maybe
surprised.
A little pear.
Very fruity.
I smell
the apples.
Mostly apples. I smell grapefruit. Yeah, okay. there's a little hint of that pink citrus in the background.
That's usually a sign that I'm not going to like it. So we'll see.
More for us. I mean, aww.
Maybe it's because of Al's soon-to-be career, but it's reminding me of a medical specimen.
Yes, that is actually the first
actually a decent medical specimen, because it's not a very dark yellow.
Yeah, so it's just a little bit too much coffee, medical specimen.
Well, some of us are runners and we know how to hydrate.
Some of us are singers and we drink so much water that our urine is almost clear.
Color doesn't always, like, indicate how healthy you are, actually.
It does
hydration, but if it's a darker color, it doesn't necessarily mean you're unhealthy.
So I'll run this by. Runners are told it should be the color of lemonade.
I mean, that's a pretty good place for it to be. If it's, there are certain colors you really don't.
You really don't want red.
Brown.
That is bad.
Purple, I'm assuming, is bad.
Unless you've eaten beets.
I was going to say Beturia, and that can be from either orifice that you can find the red. You can think that there's something drastically wrong with you, and you've just had too many beets, too much beet juice.
Huh. Yeah,
I speak from experience.
My professors have told me stories of people who come in and panic, but it's just because they eat beets.
Isn't that fascinating?
How about asparagus? Where does this factor into the
equation?
That's
the smell.
Yeah.
Asparagus, green. Mm-hmm. Green color can come from asparagus.
Or blue food coloring.
Oh, really?
Yes, that could turn Like, yeah, your pee and your poop blue. Like, Smurf blue. And that's if you have too much blue food coloring, which actually blue food coloring still has a taste to it that most people don't like, so that's why you don't see it too much. But, yes, one of my dear friends, one of his students made blue cupcakes. Like, oh, and so of course he ate one because
like
his students...
Like Tardis cupcakes.
Yeah, and he ate it, and he's like, it was like a Smurf was in my toilet. I was just like, that was blue.
Friends was on some medication for like migraines, and he calls his wife into the bathroom. He's like, "Oh my god, I'm peeing blood!" And no, it was the red coloring on the coating.
Oh my
gosh,
can you imagine?
He was beside himself.
Oh, I would be terrified.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so that's fine.
On that note.
I think we should.
This yellow color is really nice.
Yes, compared to all the other colors, your urine.
Sort of a green.
It's pretty. Another toast?
Oh, yes.
A toast to what?
To healthy pee.
Healthy pee!
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, well, I'll drink wine to that. No.
Needs to be colder.
Yeah,
does it need to be colder?
Does.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. This is kind of awful, because it's not cold enough.
It's very flat.
I'm going to put this in the fridge, so we can take another taste.
The freezer?
How about the freezer?
Okay, give me the cork back.
Cork, yes. We're doing lots of walking around on today's episode of Screw It.
You know, I haven't had enough exercise today.
No,
that's the whole deal.
That's the truth. Mm. Yeah, let's try it a little bit colder and see how it goes. But I, even though we had the cascade of bubbles when you were opening it, I don't think it's gone bad. Because you would typically know that almost immediately. And if you ever do have a bottle that does go bad, quote-unquote, with a bunch of bubbles, it's called, like, a second fermentation. That's the bottle going in the freezer there. In
no, that's Mystery Sounds.
Mystery Sounds. Leaks from my mom's basement. No.
Is that quite a red and white?
Yes. And it doesn't, like, it won't necessarily kill you to drink a bottle that's gone second fermentation, but it's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah. So I don't think that's what happened here.
No, I think it's just a little on the old side and it's not too cold, it's not cold enough.
Yeah, could be.
So, you know what? Let's ask Steve, because he's going, he is a marathoner which is a very solitary sport and very competitive. Yep. But he also sings with vocal lessons. Here comes the arts part of our show. And they have a concert coming up in early February. And
that's cool.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Steve?
Yes, please do, Steve.
Well, have you ever shared with your listeners how we met?
No.
I have not.
Yeah, it's the arts that brought us together.
No.
So right. Go ahead, if you want to tell the story.
Yeah, we were the romantic leads in a musical.
Aww.
It was an original musical where the romantic leads never even shook hands, let alone kissed.
By Jim Ulm, a friend of ours from Duluth, who's now a professor out in Wyoming.
Yep.
Yep. So we met doing that, and some of our early dates were singing in a practice room, singing Godspell in a practice room at UMD.
Yeah. Steve's a pianist. He was a competitive pianist.
Holy crap. You are A+, aren't you?
Which is why there's a grand piano in our living room taking up most of the space.
As there should be.
That Steve needs to play more.
Mm. And Steve needs to accompany me more. Everybody, tell him he needs to accompany me more.
Send all your comments to screwit.com. Okay, forget it. Anyway, so you have an upcoming show.
So I sing with Vocal Essence, and I'm in the chorus, the volunteer chorus. There's a paid corps that's, I believe, 32 or 36 singers. Some great folks, very talented singers in town. So they're the paid corps of our group, and then there's a volunteer chorus, and I am part of the volunteer chorus. And, you know, I just happen to have the 2014 season brochure here.
No way, he totally does.
And
do
you recognize anybody on the cover?
Do I recognize anybody on the cover? Oh my god, it's Steve! No way!
Yeah, so finally the tenor section finally gets a little ink.
I will say the tenor section... Every year has gotten better and better, and I'm sorry, Vocal Essence. I am going to be partisan and say that the tenors are the best section this year.
Wow,
they are, and I would tell you if they weren't.
She tells it like it is. What can I say?
That's
so
really cool.
So yeah, so actually, and it is just the volunteer chorus that's doing our next show, and it's February 8th at Orchestra Hall. That's a Sunday at 4:00.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at Orchestra Hall, and every February we do a concert called Witness, which is African-American music and a tribute to African-American
cool.
music in honor of Black History Month. And, you know, it's almost exclusively non-Black people singing African-American music.
That's neat.
But there's nothing wrong with that at all. No. You know, spirituals, if you sang in high school, spirituals are a great part of the literature, and we're doing some of those, including by just the awesome Andre Thomas, who's a professor down south, and he was with us a couple years ago.
Wait, where down south is he from?
Oh, boy. I believe Florida State. I think Florida State. I might get that wrong. I believe he's a professor there.
Did he teach at St. Olaf for a while?
No, you're thinking Anton Armstrong. Yep.
I worked with him.
He's great.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Andre Thomas was up with us a couple years ago. He's a great pianist, too, so we're doing something by him.
Neat!
Yep, and William Dawson, who writes a lot of spirituals, or wrote a lot of spirituals as well. So those are... folks might recognize those names because, you know, in high school you do core literature for high school. So,
and your guest artists?
And our guest artists are no one other than Sounds of Blackness.
What? Get out!
It's just a wonderful ensemble. I have never seen them, let alone appeared with them. So it's going to be just plain a blast.
So do you want to be my date, Dawn?
If I'm around, yes. February 8th, no, I can't. But I want to be. Yes.
You lose,
well,
baby.
I did. Al, do you want to be Lana's date? You could draw blood together.
I don't have a problem finding dates.
I know you don't,
boy.
But I appreciate
get back to that herpes. I don't
know. Stop it.
And I should point out, you know, we're not only Sounds of Blackness, but also the South High School Choir from Minneapolis South.
Cool.
So we include high school kids in this every year as well.
That's neat.
And the director, Philip Brunel, just, you know, a mastermind in this sort of stuff. He makes sure that kids, young people, young singers have a model for knowing that, hey, after you get out of high school or maybe college, there's a place to still sing, just like Al and Pep Band.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you played in high school, and then there's a place to do it in college, and guess what? There are bands in, you know, after college
bands
as well.
Yes.
So
plan on playing for quite some time.
You know what I love about the arts, though, is especially band and choirs and stuff. Unlike sports, A, there is a place after, you know, you get out of college to do it, and B, you don't have lifelong injuries to deal with.
You don't get injured as much.
Your knees aren't killed. Your back isn't bad. You don't get concussions. Generally
as
speaking,
much.
Unless you've got a trombonist, you know, behind you or something.
Or you're a marching band.
Yeah,
and someone zigged when you zagged.
Yeah, I tried to get out of marching band every time I could. But, you know, I grew up in Duluth playing the flute outside in the middle of even Christmas City of the North Parade.
No.
That's bloody cold.
Have you had to do that, Al?
I played at football games in high school,
mm-hmm.
and some of them got very chilly. Very chilly. Had the gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, it wasn't an open-hole flute, so I could still keep the gloves on.
Oh, wow.
Well, and the difference is, if you're playing pep band, you can sit, and you can snuggle, and you can have blankets.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are marching, you
mm-hmm.
are so exposed.
Mm-hmm.
That's nasty.
But you're absolutely right, though. The arts is something that you can carry through for the rest of your life. I mean, God, it's how Lana and I met.
Yep.
And that's what's...
That's how I meet almost all the people in my life these days, it seems. I wonder if that wine is cold yet. Because actually, I'm drinking it slightly warm.
Yeah, it's
growing
fine.
On me.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's because it's our second glass. There's an interesting aspect to today's episode that I want to grill Al on. I mean, especially as being a millennial. Now, like, when you guys do parties... And your mom doesn't listen to this, so don't worry about it.
No, neither does your dad.
No, your dad sure doesn't.
Sure as hell doesn't.
I mean, do you do, like, the big mixed drinks, or do people bring bottles of wine, or...
Well, we mostly have drinks based on the economy side of...
Well, right.
...of things, because we are the poor students. And people, when they mix things, it's usually a vodka and juice. You know,
mm-hmm.
it goes to the simple screwdrivers
or
whatever.
Right.
Phillips vodka and...
Yep.
Oh, I do remember these days.
Those days. So,
the slow gin and sun-kissed pop. Like the Lion Punch, but it's the ugliest hangover you'll ever have.
Yes.
Anyway, wait a second. So edit that part out now.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. You know, honesty is a good thing. So...
Yes.
But do you find your crew is, like, leaning more towards wine, or...?
Yes, we are leaning more towards it. I have a friend who is originally from Pennsylvania, and he tends to... If we, like, do him a favor, like, cats it for a while, he'll pay us back in a bottle of this wine from Pennsylvania. I cannot
Cool.
I cannot remember the name of it right now, but it's pretty good. So... Some of us, yes.
You guys are way above what we were at that age, because I never drank wine until I was...
I didn't fall in love with wine until recently, too. What about you, Steve?
I remember, I think I got one box of wine in college once, and I maybe drank a glass of it and threw it away.
What was it, Franzia?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. Well, at least my college party drink was Boone's Farm. I mean, that's what we drank, and that's, I guess, quote-unquote wine.
We drank either beer that the older boys provided.
Naturally.
That speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was the whatever cheap alcohol that somebody's older sister would provide, and you just put pop or juice in it. So, now you're... I misspent you.
No. Well, because I did a little bit of research on this, because there has been a lot of, like, pop-up information about millennials and how much they're drinking wine. And so when I did some comparisons, I found that baby boomers are still our largest consumer of wine in the U.S.
They've got the money, though. Come on.
Well, and see, that's part of it. There's about 41% of them who drink it, although the millennials are almost 26% in our country who drink wine, that's a big old number. And it's maybe... I mean, millennials still has a wide age range, so you're still in school. Mm-hmm. That's probably why. But we have a lot to thank, though, for the millennials, because they are changing the way, quote unquote, we drink and buy wine. They're the ones who inspired the $10, $12 bottles. You know,
oh, I know. Thank you so much, Al.
Did it just for you.
But, I mean, just in the last, 10 years, how many $10 bottles have we seen in the last 10 years? And they're good.
My go-to, $11, $12 bottle is always a 14 Hands. That's my favorite company.
Yep, 14 Hands is great. And that's part of the whole reason is because of the millennials. I mean, and that's part of the reason why we also get these goofy labels. Is that the millennial is more interested in, like, what does it feel like? Or how silly is this?
They don't bastard. El Toro.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't want... You don't want pictures of castles.
No, it's not as interesting.
As a gigantic rooster sitting in the front.
What was that again? What was the name of that one?
It was Big Cock. What was it?
No. Your Big Cock, but it's something Rex.
Oh, yeah, Goliath Rex. They want
the
silly, with the big cock on the front. With medals. Yes. But, I mean, they want the silly titles. They want the silly labels. And the fact that you brought up your friend from Pennsylvania who's giving Pennsylvanian wines is also very niche to millennials, because they don't want, like, what they're, obviously, their grandma and grandpa are drinking, but they'll do something that's more smaller wineries, more niche-y, more interesting. So thank you, Al, for our $10 bottles of good wine.
This reminds me, last night we went to a place that is mostly about cider, and we were by far the oldest people there. Most of them were, like, barely legal to drink. With the long hair and the beards and the leather jackets,
of course.
It was like, really? Cider? Excellent!
But that's what also the millennials like, the sweet.
My friends love the Angry Orchards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do too!
Yes, they are. They are really good.
I apparently have a slightly less mature palate.
But, like, even it's the sweeters that they like. The Moscato, like, in the last year, increased in sales by 20%.
My mother, I'm going to say... She's almost 30 years older than I am, and I always just give her Moscato, and she puts her ice cubes in it, and then we go from there.
And that's what your Oma likes, is the Moscato. But I just thought it was so interesting to see, like, how much,
really,
and also the online purchasing of wines. That's a big, that's a huge millennial thing. So that we have a lot to thank those, lazy, self-centered millennials. Is that what you guys are? I can't remember.
Right.
Narcissistic. Debt is more like it.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And working in higher ed, I really do owe them my job.
So thank you. So
thank you, darling.
Maybe the wine's cold.
Oh, God, I hope so. Let's see.
The most walking episode of Screw It.
You know, wait a second. I'll try to walk harder. I've always tried to walk really softly, but...
Why? Oh, that's good Foley.
Thanks!
Does it feel a little bit colder?
It feels a bit colder.
Would you just jam the cork right back in there?
Because otherwise we didn't drink that much, so...
No.
Otherwise it was just going to make a mess.
And by drink that much, we only drink half the bottle.
Well, there's four of us, for God's sakes.
Well.
Oh, and that did not work well. Let's see.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I am magic with a cork. Blah, blah, blah.
You cork
blah,
magic blah, queen.
Well, that's what they say. Yeah. No, that's what he said.
Hey. Uh-huh. Well, give it a try, Al. Well, Steve, is it better colder? Otherwise,
or should we do the ice cube? That's what I like my mom.
We can just take a tribute to your mom.
I'm getting the ice cubes. Mm-hmm.
I think an ice cube's a great idea.
You know what, though? You're right. There is a grapefruit taste. Yeah.
Washing my hands.
Oh, this is really the most exciting episode ever. Would you like glass to put all those ice cubes in?
Yeah. I want to hear the sound of the ice cubes hitting the liquid. This is going to be a beautiful sound. So
And a screw it first. There you go. Ooh. Oh. Ah.
Ooh.
This really is a family episode.
Now that
it's like we're just drinking tributes to your mom at this point.
And your Oma?
Yep, and Oma, which is the German word for grandma.
Well, in Italian it's nonna, so for my cats, my mother is nonna. Yes, my children are cats. Get over it.
Well, you know, as long as you're happy.
Like yours aren't.
Nice. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this does make for a more interesting.
So, Al, from a medical specimen standpoint, how are we looking here?
Well, the appearance looks fine. There's no foam, see?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
That's
uh-huh.
a good sign to have no foam.
Oh,
I am so appalled. The ice makes it so much better.
Yeah, the ice makes it, you know, and I think it's more the product that we just didn't have it chilled appropriately.
It is better, colder.
Mm-hmm. Colder is much better. Do you think we should rate it now that it's colder?
Sure.
Yeah, let's rate this puppy. So, scale of 1 to 5.
Try some cheese.
Remind me of what the ratings mean.
1 is I wouldn't drink it if they were giving it away free at the Renaissance Festival.
2.
5 is, sorry. 5 is I would tap that vintner's cask.
3 is wedding appropriate. Figure out the other pieces yourself.
Yeah, she's smart.
I think I would rate this a 2.5. It's not my favorite, but maybe if it's all there was.
If it was all there was at the party.
And I was desperate, maybe.
And everyone drank the vodka and juice.
This was all that was left, then maybe I'd go for it. But okay. That's...
How do you feel, Steve?
I agree. I think it depends what else is at the wedding.
So if it's, you know,
also whose wedding it is.
That always makes a difference.
Because sometimes you just need any alcohol to be able to get through the wedding, or if there's an ex there or something like that.
Or if it's been one of those services where you're cringing through the whole service, and I won't go into details, but we know which ones we're talking about.
That's probably wise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, the funny thing is, the world hasn't ended yet. So that's another story.
That is another story.
It is.
So what point did you give it? I'm sorry.
You know, I'm pretty much going to go with Al. Maybe a tiny bit better. But trying to think about what's around 2.8. There's
2.9.
No race that's 2.8. What,
2.7.
You know, like a running race that's
2.85.
2.85. Is that no pi is 3.141.
I thought it was 3.1214.
No, it's 3.1412.
3.14.
I can't remember numbers for the life of me.
Wow. Well, anyways, so Steve, what are you giving this one?
2.74.
Okay, that's good. Do you feel good about that now?
I feel as good as I can after drinking this wine.
Lana?
I'm going to say that this wine, or I'm going to give you a purpose for this wine.
What?
This is the kind of wine you put in the fridge and you drink continuously through the day as you're working in the middle of July in the garden.
Oh.
And so that your muscles are tired and you're dirty and you just need something to throw back and get you... Keep going. It's a 2.5 for me as well.
See, I thought you were going to say, this is the wine you put in your fridge, and when people come over you don't like, you're like, here, have this wine. Isn't it awful? Do you want some more? Oh, you have to leave. Aww.
Is that your purpose?
That would be my purpose for this wine.
I don't like people I don't like in my house.
You're ahead of me.
Those are words to live by.
They are.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a nice, nice round 2. I would drink it if it was free at Renfest, because it's an equivalent of it's hot and it's sweaty and you just want something to drink. Mm. If this was at a wedding, I'd probably move straight to the coffee.
You know what?
Yeah. Unless it was a really awful wedding, then I would keep drinking.
If they had the this is free and you can buy for something else, I would be paying for my wine.
Exactly. I would pay for my wine on this one. So this one, yeah, we're not in love with, and that's the, how do you pronounce this, Lana?
Sancerre.
Sancerre.
Is it 2010? Is that a little old for
it's
white?
It's really old for white. Generally, you drink it within the first 2 years.
What's the year on the Cannon River Winery, the one from Minnesota?
Who knows?
Who knows? Huh?
Yeah, well, I mean,
interesting.
It's how
it
long it's been
say.
In my mom's basement, so.
I'm not finding a year on this, but for red, most reds can stay around for a good 4 years, and if it's something like a burgundy, you want it to sit maybe for 10.
Yeah. But isn't it interesting that, you know, Cannon River Winery is 40 miles from where we're sitting right now, and we're rating that, unless Lana's going to really trump things here, we're rating that one higher than something fancy from France with a name I can't pronounce.
You know, maybe it's because I am both French and Italian in heritage, and I will say that French wines do not impress me, generally speaking, but you were just in Paris.
I was just in Paris, and the thing I learned is that Parisians typically like their wines very young anyways. So yeah, this one is probably too old, and I'll go with that. I mean, if it's a year old, it should have been drunk by now. So,
is that true with the reds as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They like their wines very young over there, and they were wonderful.
It makes their reds very bright.
It does, in some ways, very gentle, and just because they don't have to put as much crap in it, because they don't have to ship it anywhere. And
so are they drinking Burgundy or a blends or what?
Yes.
Kind of blends?
Yes, no, everything.
Okay.
Like, they drink reds, whites, everything. But usually the reds had a larger selection, typically.
Okay.
But yeah, it was fantastic. We can do an entire episode about what I learned in Paris.
Yes!
Maybe that should be our next episode!
Yes!
So, the two wines we've been drinking so far, the which is the white,
and the Cannon River Winery Nouveau.
Do we even have to ask who preferred which bottle the most? All show of hands for Cannon River Winery. Oh my god, it's everybody. What a surprise.
Yay, Minnesota.
Yay.
Minnesota Rouser. You want
to
drink Minnesota?
Yeah, do you want
to
quick, like...
Yes.
I almost wish that was the end of our show, so we could close with
wait,
that.
Wait a second, what happened to the idea of us having actual theme song?
Yeah, I know, I gotta get on that.
Okay, me too. If nothing else, next time the two of us will sing something.
Something.
And
terrifying.
That's a threat for everyone.
So these were the two wines we drank. We had Allison here, who's going to be graduating soon.
Yay!
Our resident millennial. We have Steve here, who's still awesome no matter what, and he's going to be running a lot, which I still think he should be certifiably insane for that. But that's okay. That's okay. We support you.
We support you in your insanity, darling.
Yeah.
I love you dearly. And guess what? We didn't drink a wine with tannin.
Oh, look at that. Amazing. So thank you for listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age. We improve with wine, except for the Sen stuff.
As long as it's red wine.
Exactly. So next episode is going to be the stuff I learned in Paris.
So I guess we're drinking French wines?
Let's do it. I learned lots.
You know what? I'll drink to that.
Cheers. Thank you so much. And find us on Facebook if you haven't already. Thanks for listening. And our closing theme song should just be a reprise of what we just heard.
Minnesota, hats off to thee. Da 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 da